in my Father's house above. Happy, happy, happy we shall be. Happy, happy, happy we shall be. Happy, happy, happy we shall be in my Father's house above. In my Father's house there are many mansions there. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house there are many mansions there. In my Father's house above. Happy, happy, happy we shall be. Happy, happy, happy we shall be. Happy, happy, happy we shall be in my Father's house above. Amen. Praise the Lord. Since morning we'll be talking about heaven, you know, everything, even from the Sunday school, he's talking about heaven. And I pray that we reign with Christ in Jesus' name. Because if you look at the book of Matthew, Jesus said there that he has gone to prepare a place for us, that we are going to reign with him, that if it is not so, that he won't tell us. And just like we all know, there's always what we must do. So let us pray. In Jesus' name, Almighty Father, we appreciate you. We give you praise. We give you everything within our reach, O Lord. Father, for making it possible for us to be here this morning, our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, we are about to go into your word. We ask, O Lord, that you give us understanding, O Lord. Father, as we hear your word, O Lord, help us, O Lord, to understand and do which that we are supposed to do in Jesus' name. Father, we are tired of hearing your word every time. Even we are tired of teaching your word and not doing it, O Lord. Father, we ask for the grace to do the word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. This morning we are going to be looking at work out your own salvation. You know, work out your own salvation, you know. We are all safe, I know. Please, can we move forward, those of us on this roll? There are a lot of people sitting at the back. Yeah. Just move forward to occupy the front chairs. You know, there's a need for us to work out our own salvation, because, you know, there's a period between getting saved and getting to heaven. And as far as we are here, you know, there are a lot of things that will come our way. And there should be a continuity from here till eternal. You know, we have to make sure that we start as a Christian and finish as one. You know, sometimes we may start as a Christian and we may not finish as one. So this morning, what we are looking at is things that will help us to work out our own salvation. And we all know that the devil is not in a hurry to get us. He's not. He just look at us and be working on us. So we have to be determined to make heaven and to work out our own salvation. We know that God has called each and every one of us, and just like we all know, there's always what we must do. And I pray that the devil will not get us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. If you are there before me, you can read. It says,
fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ.
Praise the Lord. we can see now Apostle Paul was warning the church in Philippians that, you know, that they should work out their own salvation, you know, with fear, you know, the fear of the Lord, when you are alone, when you are in the midst of other Christians, because just like I said earlier on, that the devil is not in a hurry to get us, you know. Either we are who we are when we are by ourselves, and we are what we are when we're in the midst of others. So it's very important to work it out, because like I said, you know, lots of sin come through our mind that we need to resist the devil. And I can tell you, as soon as we resist the devil will flee. So I'm going to quickly look at the book of Matthew. So it's going to give us an insight about the way God look at this thing. The book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. It's a place where we don't normally read. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Starting from verse 2. It says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And let's look at verse 2. It says, Abraham begot Isaac. Am I right? Was Isaac the only son of Abraham? Was he? No. Even we know about Ishmael, and we know from Keturah and some other, there are many, but Isaac was the only person who took the covenant forward, you know? And again, we know that Isaac had how many children? Two. How many? Who are they? Who are they? Who took the covenant forward? Praise the Lord. Jacob has how many children? 13. 12 sons and one daughter. Who took the covenant forward? Joseph. Joseph has how many kids? Two. Ephraim and Manasseh. Who took the covenant forward? Ephraim. Praise the Lord. If we look at where we read in Matthew, say only one person in every family took the covenant forward. Am I right? So what happened? The rest, they are of the sin. We can see that the casualty rate is very high. The rest, they are of the sin. We remain on the sin in Jesus' name. You know, those people who took the covenant forward, you know, there's always what they have to do. And they did it. They did what they needed to do, and they became what they need to become. So the same thing, we all know, admission into the school of nursing will not necessarily make me a nurse. No. I have a period of how many years? 3 years in between me, which I will be tested, I will be examined academically, morally, to see if I'm qualified. And in those 3 years, there are some courses. I know anatomy and physiology done in our own time. It's one of the compulsory courses. You can't say you want to become an RN with you and say, oh, I don't want to do anatomy. No. The same thing with our Christian race. You know, God has called each and every one of us, but there are things that we need to do. And in the Christendom, there are some compulsory courses that we have to do and pass. You know, each time, how many of us know that each time we fail a compulsory course, what happened to us? What happened? We are all students now. What happened? We repeat. Am I right? So the same thing in our Christian race. We have compulsory courses that we cannot do without. So each time we fail those compulsory courses, we remain on the same spot. I pray that we will not remain on the same spot in Jesus' name in our Christian race. Number one, holiness is one of the compulsory courses that we have to do. Let's quickly look at Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Talking about the compulsory courses. Hebrews 12:14. If you are there before me, you can read. Hebrews 12:14. Praise the Lord. Holiness, without which what happened? We sang this morning that we want to see the Lord. And it says here, without holiness, what will happen? I want us to talk. Without holiness, I pray we see the Lord in Jesus' name. Number two of our compulsory courses, forgiveness. Matthew 18:21-22. Matthew 18. Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? I forgive him. Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Can somebody offend us 70 times 7 in a day? 70 times in a day. Is it possible? Is it possible? So the Bible is telling us about, you know, how we should forgive. That no, we don't count sin. We don't say, okay, you did this one to me, I'm going to multiply it by 10 and do it back to you. We have to forgive. Those are the things that if we don't do, we are going to remain on the same spot. We are not going to get forward in our Christian race. And it's very crucial, because if we don't forgive others, look at the Lord's Prayer. I say, forgive us our sins as we forgive others who offend us. If we don't forgive people their offenses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you, you know. And it's very important, you know. It's not even possible to put people together and there will be no offense. It's not possible. Offense will come, but our own is to be quick to forgive. Praise the Lord. Even if you keep a mother and a child together for a long time, they begin to see things in each other that they don't like, and then they begin to offend each other. So it's very crucial in our Christian race, if we are going to see God, we have to forgive quickly, and God will give us the grace in Jesus' name. We've talked about holiness, forgiveness, and then number 3, pain of tithes. It's one of the compulsory causes. Malachi 3:10. Let's quickly go there. Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. If you are there before me, I want somebody to read it, not me. Say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room for you to receive. You know, it's a commandment with a blessing, that we should bring all the tithe into the household of God. You know, as a Christian, we should not find it difficult to tithe, because God has given us the grace. We should ask him, God, help me to tithe. It's compulsory. It's one of the compulsory courses that we need to pass. If we don't pass, we'll be on the same spot. How many of us belong to an association that we need to pay some things there regularly? If you don't pay, what will happen? It says here, bring all the tithe into my storehouse. So if you don't pay your association, your due, what will happen to you? We'll not be able to practice in whatever field you are. Praise the Lord. So we'll quickly go to the 3 compulsory courses, which are very important and they are very crucial in our Christian race. Number 1, holiness. 2, forgiveness, pain of tithes and offering. And we know, just like I said before, each time we fail compulsory course, we have to remain on the spot. It means, when are we going to move forward? God has already called us. He has gone to prepare a place for us. Are we not looking forward to enjoy eternity with him? Are we? So we have to do everything within our reach to make it to heaven, and God will help us in Jesus' name. And just like I said before, that, you know, admission into school of nursing, you know, there are some things that you must do. The same thing as a Christian, we have to go through tests every day. And our own test is called temptation. Praise the Lord. We go through it every day. Every day, as soon as we wake up, there's temptation. Even before you get up, something, it's a game of the mind, you know. If you don't resist it, you go and carry it out. Let's quickly look at Matthew 4. Jesus Christ, our perfect example, was tested. So who are we not to go through temptation? I want somebody to read for me from verse 1, Matthew 4. Praise the Lord. Satan came, you know, that was his own temptation. You know what happened to Jesus Christ? He passed. Am I right? Look at what happened after that. After he passed his own temptation, then he started his ministry. Praise the Lord. Each time we pass a temptation, there's always a crown waiting for us. You know, just like the same way, whenever we fail, we are going back. We not go back in Jesus' name. Let's look at James 1:12. James 1:12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Praise the Lord. Temptation will come. Ours is to resist it. So say, no, I'm not doing this. Lord, help me. Give me the grace. You know, my prayer is that whenever we are going to face our next temptation, God himself will give us the inner grace to endure in Jesus' name. You know, just like I said before, that Satan, the devil, is not, you know, in a hurry to get us. You know, he can even arrange it that we keep sinning. The day we gave our life, we not move an inch. You know, there's a policy of I will sin and repent. You know, Satan can arrange it that way. It's a killer policy. Some of us, the sin we are going to commit, let's say in April now, the sin we are going to commit in July, you know, it's tax period. We've already asked God for forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Lord, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. So I have to do this, I have to do that. And Lord, just have mercy. No, it's a killer policy. And you know, he can arrange it to the extent that we keep sinning. And you know, as when you sin and nothing happens, God will not even say anything. Your conscience, God will, you know, sometimes when we do something wrong, God will chastise us. You know, the devil can arrange it that we keep sinning and you will not be seen. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. It's a going down policy. Each time we sin and nothing happens, we think, yes, that's not a sign of smartness. It's a sign of going down. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at the book of Ecclesiastes 8:11. I want everyone to be there. It's a very important Bible passage that we need to know. Are we all there? Ecclesiastes 8:11. Okay. Say, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. Just like I've said before, that's because you sin. I did it 3 years ago, nothing happened. I'm going to do it again this year because, you know, nothing happened. That is why, you know, our mind will be, okay, let me do it again. It's wrong. It's a killer policy, just like I've said. You know, because we don't get punished immediately. Some of the things that, you know, are happening now, maybe as a result of what you have done maybe 20 years ago. And sometimes we may not know. Sometimes we may know. But we say, okay, let me just keep doing it. God will give us the inner grace to resist evil doing in Jesus' name. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:16. It says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You know, we should continue in the doctrine. Continue in what we know. You know, Apostle Paul was telling Timothy to continue in the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, just like I said earlier on, that there's a period of being, of our starting and finishing, you know. We may be a Christian for 30 years. That is not a guarantee that we are going to end as a Christian. So that is why it's very important to work out our own salvation, you know. The Bible says many are called. We've seen it where we read in Matthew, but few are chosen. We'll be chosen in Jesus' name. And when the register shall be updated, our name will appear in Jesus' name. You know, talking about all these things, our mind or our heart has a lot of role to play. You know, every day, you know, the mind issue, It's very important, you know, because our Christian race starts from our heart. That is, and it's inside our heart that we sustain it, and that is where it's going to finish. So it is very important for us to look at, to guide our heart, our mind jealously, because, you know, every day there are a lot of temptation that will be coming on us, bombarding our heart. So it's our duty to say, no, I'm going to stand up for God. This is what I'm going to do. Get thee behind me, Satan. Let's quickly look at Philippians 2:5. The book of Philippians 2:5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, the heart of Jesus Christ. We know the characteristics of his heart. He was humble, you know, even to the death of the cross, you know. Forgive easily. He was holy. Going back to our three compulsory courses, you know, if we have the same type of mind that Jesus, you know, has, you know, we'll not find it difficult to forgive people. We'll not find it difficult to live a holy life. We'll not find it difficult to pay our tithes and offering. So it's very important that we have to guide our hearts jealously. As soon as we are born again, as soon as we are saved, the devil wants to start to work on our mind. It's our duty to resist him. Let's quickly look at Romans 12:2. It's talking about the mind. Romans 12:2.
So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you.
Praise the Lord. That should be our prayer every day, that God help me, renew me daily. That should be our prayer, because just like I said before, we have our own examination every day, which is temptation. We have to work very hard on our mind. You know, we have to work very hard. There are some associations that, you know, that we look at it that is not good. It's not going to, you know, it's not helping us in our race to heaven. We have to do away with them. We have to. There are some things that we see. You know, there are some friends that we keep. There are some company that we keep that they are not helping us in this Christian race. So what is the essence of our Christianity if we can't make heaven? I guess there are some things that we cannot do as a Christian now. There are some places we cannot go. There are some things we cannot even see, look at, watch as a Christian. Then after suffering, and at the end of it, we can't reign with him. It's very sad. So that is why it's very important to, you know, do it in our, make efforts to work out our own salvation with fear and trouble. And if we ask God for the grace, God is ever able to give us the grace to do it, you know. It's only Christian that we, you know, we Christian, we say we love God, but we don't have time for him. Am I right? How many have you seen the, you know, we know athletes now. I've never had any one of them say, I don't have time for training. Am I right? They say, I don't have time to train. It's not possible. They make time. So as a Christian, we have to make time too. If we know we want to reign with him, if we know we want to see him, we have to make time, and God will help us. I always say we all run a very tight schedule, but, you know, we still have some allowance, you know, to watch our favorite television program. Am I right? So the same thing in our Christian race, we have to make time. If we love God, if you love somebody and you don't have time for the person, then what's the essence of the love? You can't tell your wife, I love you, but I don't have time for you. You can't tell the kids, oh, I love you, but you don't have time for them. You have to make time. You have to make time for God. We have to separate ourselves, just like where we have read. Separate ourselves. There's a place for family altar. There's a place for personal evangelism. And just like I said, that the devil is not in a hurry to get us. You know, sometimes the devil can arrange that, you know, you not even be doing your family altar. You know what happened in our home? We realize that in the morning, everybody is in a hurry to go out. So the time for the family altar in the morning is short. Then I sat down. I look at it. I say, how about 9 o'clock every day? wherever we are, at by 9, everybody should be coming home. Then 9 o'clock every evening, we do Bible study so that the kids will be able to ask questions, will be able to teach. Then in the morning, we just pray with the daily the devotional we use and go. Then I told my husband said, it's good. There's nothing like waking up in the morning and pray. I said, yes, we are still going to pray in the morning, but I'm saying so that there will be we can teach, especially because of the kids. Then he looked at it, said, yeah, that's a good idea. And we'll be doing it. If we don't make time for God, you know, look at it, what you can do, what you cannot do. You know, there will be no time. Am I right? Because by the time you wake the kids, by the time they will drag themselves out, by the time you do this, do that, by the time you know it, maybe you have less than 5 or 3 minutes to pray. And that's the prayer in the car. That's not the type of prayer we are talking about. If we are really going to make heaven, that's not the type of prayer. And we have duties and obligations for our children. We have to teach them the word of God, because where will they hear it from? Because in schools, they are not teaching it anymore. They are not. So we have to make time and sit down and say, okay, let's work it out this way. And to God be the glory, it's working. You know? To God be the glory, it's working. So if we love God, we have to do what he said. Make time, make sacrifice to do what he has commissioned us to do. And God will help us in Jesus' name. I have here some signs, you know. When we begin to see these signs, we know that there are signs that we are going down. I want it to be projected so that we can look at it. It's going to help us. Number one here, when things of God begin to be less important than previously, you know, we are talking about maybe there's we have to come to the church before. You know, remember that week we got saved. If they say we should sleep in the church, am I right? Are we not going to sleep there? If we say there's midweek service, 6 to 6 p.m. we'll be there. If they say there's prayer and fasting, we do it. But when we see that, even when they say prayer and fasting, it doesn't even ring bell. It doesn't make sense. That's a danger sign. When it's time for us to go to church or any Christian program, we don't even watch it anymore. We don't have time for everything that has to do with God. That's a danger sign that we need to watch. Let's quickly open our Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 18. We're talking about the signs of going down. Galatians 2:18. It says, "For if I build again those things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor." You know those things that we have destroyed. That very week we got born again, we remember what happened. Some of us, maybe we used to keep malice before. I'm not going to fight anymore. There's many, many things that we used to do. Because I'm saved, I can no longer do it. Each time we see ourselves picking up those things again, each time we see us going back to those things that we have destroyed, what is the Bible telling us? Say, we are a sinner. That is what it's saying. "For if I build again those things which I destroy," you know, we know those things that we destroy. Some people, as soon as they give their life, they will destroy their trinkets, everything the way God is leading them. You know, that very week, you know how we are burning for Christ, those things we destroy. Each time we go back to pick them up, we are a sinner. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Prayerlessness, you know, when we don't even pray anymore. I used to tell people in our house fellowship, I say, look at it this way. If we stay like 3 months, no Bible study, don't come to church, don't read your Bible, don't pray, I said to them, how will you look? They said they will look dry. The devil has so much arranged that Christians, we don't pray anymore. Am I right? Look at Muslims. They pray how many times a day? 5. Nothing can stop them. One day I was driving on Canning Highway. I saw somebody praying there. Then I said to myself, look at this man praying in this open space. Then I said to myself, I don't know why he's doing that, but whatever reason that that this is good. How I wish I can. You know? Let's look at Luke 18:1. Then he spake a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You know? We need to pray. We need prayers. Yes. We need to pray. Every day, every time. When you are by yourself in the car, you can write your prayer request on the back of your hand. As you are driving, you look at it, you do it. And another thing is that you have to separate yourself. Even look at Jesus Christ, our example. You know, they say he separates himself. You have to make time for your own prayer. You know, there are some things that you need. There are some battles that you, it's only you. Nobody can pray it for you. It's you that we have to win the battle on your knees. Am I right? So we need to pray. When we see that we don't pray anymore, we just live our life the way we want to. We live everything by chance. Sebi, this is Australia now. It's true, it's Australia, but we need to pray. I used to tell people in our house fellowship, I say, in Nigeria or in Africa where I come from, even if I commit a crime and they put me somewhere and somebody will come and ask me, "Madam, what is your name?" As soon as I mention my name, somebody will ask question. Am I right? They will ask you, "Adegboye of where? Is it Adegboye of Kogi or the one Ilorin?" You know, people know, but here, who knows you? Who knows you? If they mention your name, it's only God that knows you. I say that is the need. That is the more reason for us to pray, you know, to appreciate God, to acknowledge him. I say, no matter what I do, even if it is bad thing, you will see people who will come and say, and sometimes the people that will come, they might help. But here, who will help you? Except God. As soon as they say, "Oh, Adegboye from Kogi, are you related to so, 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 and so?" Then sometimes breakthrough might come. But who do we know here? As soon as your name is even mentioned, it's even strange. And they will look at you and say, "Oh, except you are a child of God," you know, and God will know how to separate you. God will know how to fight on your behalf, and God will fight for us in Jesus' name. When we no longer serve in the household of God, you know, when they say, we are looking for somebody, before we used to do this in the church, when we no longer do it, when we just come and go and come back, and when even sometimes you can identify need for yourself and just begin to do it, you can say, okay, you can look at the flower outside. This thing is too long. Maybe one of these Saturday I'll just ask the pastor for the key. Then many people, they ask for the key. I don't even ask them, "What do you want to come and do in the church? Is it not church for everybody?" They say, "Oh, can you make the key available for me?" Okay, when do you want it? Do you want me to put it in the letterbox outside, or are you coming to my house to pick it? I don't ask questions. Look for something to do. As you are doing it, God is looking at it. Go, ask God what you want God to do for you. You know, let's look at John 5:17. John 5:17. No longer serve in the household of God. Say, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" That is Jesus. It's working. What are we doing for God? What are we doing for God? It's very important. Nobody is useless. You can. There are many things you can do. You can even personally ask God, "Open my eyes. I want to serve. Which area do you want me?" And I'm very sure if you ask God, God will direct you. We need to be doing things, you know, when we no longer do anything in the church, when we come in and just go like that. And we are not even ready to open our eyes to see areas where we can serve. Number four, you know, when we don't even examine ourselves anymore. We just, you know, sometimes it's very good for us to just sit down. Sometimes I come here, most of the time, Saturday morning, I'm here. What do I do? I just come here, pray, look at it, and God speaks to me. Look at area I'm not doing well. The things that I need to put more effort, the things that I'm not even doing at all, the things that I've not even started. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeit, disapproved on trial, and rejected.
Praise the Lord. Every time we have to take stock, look at ourselves. What am I doing wrong? You know, my husband always say, you can't continue to, if you continue to do the same thing every time, you continue to get the same result. What in my Christian race, what am I doing wrong? Where am I not doing the right thing? Where do I need to improve? What do I need to do right? It's a very important something that we need to self-examine ourselves every day. You just separate yourself. Sit down. Look at your Christian journey. Where are you heading to? Are you heading for heaven? Look at what you are not doing right. Look at what you need to do more. And God will give us the grace in Jesus' name. Number five, you know, signs of going down. When we complain and murmur about the things of God, if a servant of God is preaching, instead of us to listen, we'll be complaining about the dressing, whatever, be murmuring. That is a big sign of going down. I shared it with the people in our house fellowship. I remember the church we used to go in Nigeria then, about 15 years ago. It's a small church like this. And they said that we needed money for something, that we had to contribute money for that thing. Then the head of the women leader came and said to us that this is this, so we are going to be contributing so amount of money. I didn't complain. Nobody heard me complain, but I complained inside. I said to myself, I said, where do they expect me to get this type of money? I said, can't they see Mr. A and so that they are very rich? Can't they do the project? Why would they want us to contribute money? And I didn't. I just murmured. I complained within me. And I left. I didn't do anything. So I went. Then, in my place of work, it was time for us to, you know, the promotion was coming, so it was time. And I went in. Among my peers, Abby, I was the only person who was not promoted. I told God, I was driving home, I was not in Yinka then. I went back home, then I asked God. I said, and people even came to me and said, oh, Mr. Adeboye, you are the only one out of the doctor's wife that were not promoted. I said, what's happened? Then I went home, I said, Lord, what have I done wrong? Immediately, very clear. I said, remember, in the church, this. I said, Lord, is that? But I didn't say it out. That is it. Murmuring and complaining about the things of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:10. I've shared it many times with people in my house fellowship. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Praise the Lord. Each time we complain, each time we murmur. He said, who is the destroyer? The devil. We heard it this morning. We'll be separated among those who are going to face trouble. Each time we complain. If you are going to complain, leave the place. If you are going to murmur, leave the place. It's very important. When we complain, we murmur, we always see things that, you know, is wrong with everybody, everything. And we are not doing it. I didn't contribute. I didn't put the money down. I didn't. But I complain. We are not going to do it. And we'll be complaining. More money. Oh, the service is too long. How can they expect me to come for 9 VG? They know I have to go to work tomorrow. How can they expect us to be having house fellowship during the week? They know that I have to work. How can they put workers training on Saturday? That is when I need to work. Peak hour. Why would they put it that time? Why can't the choir practice after church? Why will we come back again? We complain, murmuring. We hear. He said, anybody who complains will be destroyed by the destroyer. Will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. Lastly, you know, when we continue to sin, just like I've said before, it's a sign of going down. When we continue to sin and we don't even have conscience anymore, God does not even say anything anymore until we show up there. You know, we do things, you know, doesn't matter, I've been doing it. That is a danger sign, you know, of going down. And God will help us in Jesus' name. I want us to look at the sign again. I don't know if they can come up together. Those are the things that we have to watch out for, you know. Just like I said before, remember our three compulsory courses. We have to have it at the tip of our hand. Holiness, forgiveness, paying of our tithes and offering. Those are the compulsory ones. Anytime we fail in those areas, we are not moving forward. And we continue to move forward in Jesus' name. You know, these signs too, we have to watch out for them. It's very important. Just like I said before, that there's a period of our starting and ending. And I pray that we reign with him in Jesus' name. Our daily examination as a Christian is called temptation. Every day we'll be tempted. Am I right? Sometimes you'll be running late, you'll be tempted to overspeed. That is your own temptation for that day. And remember, the Bible said that, you know, that he will give us opportunity to carry our cross daily and follow him. So yours is to resist it. There'll be temptation for you to go to work late. Even coming to the church, you know, that is your own temptation. Lateness is part of it. We can go to work every day. The devil can arrange it that you'll be late every time, and you'll not see anything wrong with it, and they just know you for that. At place of work, we don't know, maybe she's even coming or not. So we have to work out the work of our salvation. God has called us. Those are the things that we need to do, and God will help us in Jesus' name. So in closing, I want us to rise up and just pray. You know those areas that you are not doing well. Just like I said, I know the area I'm not doing well. I know the area that I've not even started. So we are going to pray that God will help us in Jesus' name.
To the Lord, just talk to God. Just examine your life. You may be going down in one of those areas mentioned. Ask God to lift you up. Make a commitment to the Lord. It's about you and eternity. It's about you and your relationship with God. Just pray to God and say, Father, hear me, Lord. I don't want to go down. Neither do I want to be stagnant anymore. Lord, lift me up. I yield myself to you today. Lord, I know you are preparing me for eternity, because all these things will not matter anymore at a point in my life. Therefore, Lord Jesus, I take hold of you. Lift me up, O Lord. I want to be on a forward journey. I don't want to stagnate, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please just, I know some of us will say, oh, let me just say this. I'm not an apologist. When the word of God comes out, I don't apologize, and I will never do it. It's just a clarification there. Because some of us will say, oh, in our church today, they say tithe is one of the compulsory courses, that we won't go to heaven if we don't pay tithe. If you look at the place that was read in Malachi chapter 3, before you get to verse 10, read verse 9. The reason why it is a compulsory curse is because he said, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. A robber cannot go. It's because of the robbing. He said, you are robbing me. That's what God said. So it's because of that. So you may just look at it. Is it not tight? But it's the word of God. I didn't write it. So that is why it's so crucial. That's why it's one of the... So we are not saying it to promote, you know, so that we can have money. God has been providing all that the church needs. But if we don't say it, I mean, I believe she doesn't, I didn't prepare the message for her. God led her to prepare this message. But one thing I can say is just to clarify, is because if we are not paying tithe, the Bible says we are robbing God. Praise the Lord. So, in closing, why don't you just speak to the Lord? Just thank him for the word that has come for today. Say, Lord, I bless you. Thank you for your word, because your word is true. Your word is yea, and your word is amen. Lord Jesus, whatever it will take me, I want to make it, Lord. When it is convenient for me, even when it is not convenient, Lord, all that I want is to make it with you. Lord Jesus, hear me today. Every area where I've always fallen down, my Father, my God, I will no longer fall down in those areas anymore. I will forgive. I will move forward. Your peace will reign in my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'll begin to live a life of holiness, and you will indeed be the Lord of my life in every area of my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Will you just quickly commit this week to the hand of the Lord? Commit this week to God's hand. Ask God to go before you. Ask God to prove you wherever you have to show up. Ask God to show up first there. You know, wherever you have to face people, wherever you have to do things this week, ask God to be at the forefront. Ask God to show up first for you. Ask God to go before you. Ask His presence to go with you. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Things have to be different for you. It is not according to how much strength you've got. It's not according to your wisdom. I've seen the wise go hungry. I've seen the strong being poor. But when the Lord is on your side, the line will begin to fall onto you in pleasant places. When they start to divide the resources of the world, they will not know when they will push the wonderful and the good things to you. Remember Lot and Abraham. Lot thought he chose the best. But Lord, you had reserved the best for Abraham. God will reserve the best for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word that has come out with power today. I believe those words have fallen on a good soil. And our hearts are good ground for your word. Lord, there will be changes. I said there will be changes. Our lives will not be the same again in Jesus' name. Lord, we will mount up with wings as eagles. We are flying to a different level. I said we are flying to a higher level in the mighty name of Jesus. Every of your lives will not stagnate anymore in Jesus' name. Even as your soul prosper, so will you prosper in Jesus' name. As you are fed of the bread of heaven, so will the Lord feed you with the bread of the earth in Jesus' name. There will be no lack in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.